Take your Bibles this morning, and I'm going to have you turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, as we speak a message today related to the Christmas event. But I'm going to begin today, rather than reading out of Luke 2, I'm going to read one verse from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 12. There is an amazing verse here, and this is what it says. Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." You know, I don't know if you think about that much in regard to Christmas, how God has been watching over his word, especially as it relates to the event that we call Christmas. We all know, of course, the popular little song about Santa Claus, who's making a list, and he's checking it twice, and trying to find out who's naughty or nice. I got news we could have helped Santa out a long time ago. We're all naughty. There is none righteous, not even one, the Bible says. But you know what? God doesn't have to make a list, because he knows everything, and he's in charge of everything. And he's also in charge of his word. Maybe you never thought about that. You might think, well, God is watching over my life or over the life of my friends or my family or whatever, and that's all true. But the Bible tells us, too, that one of the things that God is doing is he is watching over his word so that everything that God says will happen at the right time, in the right way, that everything will be accomplished just the way that he intended. And we're going to see that even in our message today. The first thing that I want to remind you about with that little phrase, keeping watch, is that we do, in fact, have a God who keeps watch over his word. I want you to think about how that is shown even in the Christmas story. God promised back in Genesis chapter 3 that he would send a Savior, and that Savior would be a human being, not an angel. Did it happen? Yes, it did. God is keeping watch over his word. The Bible tells us, too, that when this Savior came, that he would be born a Jew. He would not be born a Gentile, but he would be part of the line of Abraham, and certainly, just as God declared it, that happened as well. Was Jesus born a Jew? Yes, he was. The Bible tells us, too, in regard to God's word, that this Savior would be born of the tribe of Judah. God was watching over his word, and Christ came along in the fullness of time, born into the tribe of Judah. And on it goes. You could find so many other things. The Bible says he would be born of the family of David. He was. The Bible says that he would be born a virgin. He was. The Bible says that he would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. He was. The Bible says that he would be called a Nazarene. And he was. The Bible says that he would spend time in Egypt. And he was. God has been watching over his word from the very beginning of the human race to make sure that everything that he says will come into full realization. And you know, when we look at the Christmas story, we see this very plainly indicated as well. The Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 starts out with some familiar words. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, you know all about census. We take census even in our country. Back in those days, they took census too, but they didn't do them every 10 years. They did them every 14 years. And it was time for another census. And yet, with the census being taken, when we take them here in the United States, we can stay living right where we are. We can stay right here in our locale. All we have to do is register where we're living at this time. But you know what? Back in Bible times, when the census was taken, people had to go all the way back to the town that they came from. In the case of Joseph, this was 80 miles away. They were living in the area of Nazareth at that time, and yet the Bible knew that, according to the Scripture, God, who's watching over his word, made sure that they were able to travel that 80 miles to get down to the town of Bethlehem, where Jesus would be born, just like God said would happen. God was watching over everything regarding His Word. You know, when you see things like this, it's a reminder to all of us that we need to have the same kind of reaction that Mary had when she found out that she was going to be the one that God was going to use to fulfill prophecy and bring Christ into the world. Remember what her response was to the angel? She was not a doubter like the priest was there, Zechariah. On the other hand, she was one who fully accepted God's word. And that's the kind of attitude that we need as well. Remember what she said? Be it unto me according to your word. Whatever God says, it's worthy to be followed. It's worthy to be received. It's worthy to be accepted. Why? Because God's word is the most accurate thing in the world today. Whatever God says happens right on schedule. And whatever God says for our life is exactly the thing that we need as well. A lot of times nowadays, of course, we want to run our own life. We don't want to live by the word. We want to live by our own thoughts, our own ideas. And yet, the scripture is very clear that God has given to us His holy word so that we might know not only God better, but we might also know God's will for our life too. Sometimes people say, oh, I wish I could learn the will of God for my life. If He would only show me what He wants me to do. Well, you realize, of course, God has given us wonderful clarity about His will for our life. You say, well, there's a few things yet I'd still like to know the answers to. Well, we all have that, but you know, everything that we need to know for our faith and for our life, for our conduct, for our way of living, it's all there in the Word of God. God keeps watch over His Word. But you know, there were others that were keeping watch at this time too. They were shepherds. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 that in the 8th verse in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. While God is above sovereignly watching over His word, there were shepherds who were down here in the region near Bethlehem. And what were they doing? They were keeping watch over their flock. And you know, I think there's a lot of significance in all of that too. When Jesus came into the world, He did not decide to first announce the birth of His son, the Messiah. He did not choose to announce that in the royal palace. He did not choose to announce that at some big public press meeting. It wasn't a big public relations thing where everybody were invited to gather around and to acknowledge this great event. It was something that was done humbly to shepherds. And what were they doing? They were keeping watch over their flock by night. Not a very high esteemed job in that day. A lot of the things about shepherds' lives were very undesirable to many people because, well, they just had difficulties as a people, especially among those that were part of the Jewish religion. They looked at shepherds and they said, you know, they can't be very good spiritual people because after all, how can they possibly keep all of the laws about what is clean and unclean and all of that? They couldn't do it. I mean, imagine taking care of sheep and that was something you did every day. It'd be very hard to keep up all the ceremonial laws of Israel. And yet God knew that. God chose a humble group of people, ones that were not highly esteemed from any standpoint, and yet God said, there's the one that I want to come to first of all. I want a group of shepherds there, and I'm going to make the announcement to them about my great salvation, about the birth of my son, the Lord Jesus. Isn't it interesting, too, that when Jesus continued on in His earthly ministry, He did not scorn the role of shepherd, but on the contrary, what did He do? He said, I am the good shepherd. He likened His whole ministry to that of being a shepherd. I am the good shepherd who came to lay down His life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd who takes care of the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. But Jesus, of course, is the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. You know, it's a reminder that a lot of times people think, well, to really be significant, I have to have some high prestige job or some very incredible thing from the standpoint of the world around me. Actually, that's not what God considers to be incredible at all. What God is looking for is what? People who are faithfully doing their job, serving Him wherever He has called them and in whatever role or place He has put them. And you know, that's exactly what the shepherds were doing. They were keeping watch over their flock. God didn't come to people who were sitting around and just didn't know what to do with themselves or with their time. On the contrary, they were doing what God had called them to do. They were doing the very thing that was necessary, taking care of a flock. No doubt many of the flock that these people were taking care of might even be used later on in the city of Jerusalem when the sacrifices were brought within the temple. Yet they had a role to fulfill. And they were doing their job. They were keeping watch over the responsibilities that were theirs. You know, that's what God is looking for. God is not looking for people who are great, but God is looking for people who are faithful. God is looking for people who are good stewards of whatever stewardship they have been entrusted with. And certainly, the shepherds had a stewardship from God as well. And it's required of a steward that they be what? That they be found faithful. That they be found faithful, carrying on the role that God has given them to play. I'm so glad that we don't all have the same role. I mean, what would a world be like if everybody had the same basic job, the same type of thing every day, and we all did the same job? Sometimes when I walk through the grocery stores of our community, I look at some of the places like the soup aisle. The other night, we needed to get a few things from the store quickly. And we went through and we were looking around for different things. But, you know, sometimes you look at certain parts of a grocery store and what do you see? Everything looks alike. Everything's the same. Same labels and all of that. But you know what? God has different roles for us, different responsibilities. And the important thing is that, like these shepherds, we need to be doing what He's called us to do. We need to be keeping watch over the responsible position that He's given to us. But you know, there was somebody else that was keeping watch in all of this as well. Her name was Mary. We see this in the story in Luke chapter 2 about Mary later on. It says that all of a sudden, after the angels have appeared and have announced to the shepherds the birth of Jesus, the shepherds immediately go and they go to the town of Bethlehem, and there they find Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus, and they relate to Joseph and Mary everything that they had heard and they had seen. By the way, that's part of our responsibility too. We are to keep watch over God's word, even as workers in whatever position we may have in life. We're to tell everybody about Jesus. We are to be His witnesses. We are to be faithful. We are to spread the news. But I think these words were very special to Joseph and Mary. After all, they already knew who Jesus was. They knew that He was the Messiah. They knew that He had been brought here for a very special purpose, a very special role to play. But now when these shepherds suddenly show up and they announce to Joseph and Mary about the angels and the message that they had heard, the Bible says that Mary heard these things, and what did she do? She wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. She never forgot the promise that God had made to her. She never forgot the calling that God had placed on her life. She kept that constantly before her. She must have thought about it many times, thinking about this group of shepherds who suddenly show up and make this amazing announcement that they had seen angels and had heard this amazing announcement. She kept watch over all of these things by treasuring them in her heart. And you know, as you come into another new year, I hope that as you look back on your life, not only the year 2013 that we are finishing up, but as you look back on your life, I hope that you'll be able to say, you know, there are things in the past that God has spoken to me about, things that He has shown me, things that when they were made known to me, they were so important to me. They are still significant even to this day. The old hymn writer says, how precious did His grace appear the hour I first believed. You remember when you became a Christian? You remember when Jesus Christ first revealed Himself in your heart and you gave your life to Him? Remember what a beautiful thing it was? You treasure those things. You keep watch over those things, never wanting to let them go, but keeping that memory alive in your heart every day. You know, there were two other people. And they were people that you know as Simeon and Anna. And they're part of the Christmas story too. And can you imagine? Here are two faithful people. One, a man, Simeon, who had been told that he will not die until he has seen the Lord's Christ. Wow, what an amazing thing. All these years people have been waiting for the coming of Messiah. And now this man finds out that it's going to happen. Can you imagine what it would be like that one day he goes up to worship God like he had no doubt many times before. And here he is now in the temple of the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to him and says, look, you see that couple over there? See that man and that woman? See that little baby? That's the one. That's the Messiah. That's the one that I've promised. That's the one that was in the Word of God predicted to come for so many years. This is He. I wonder what went through his heart at that moment. Oh, he had a tremendous message, as you know, when he spoke to Joseph and Mary and talked about all that Christ would mean in the future, not only for the world, but for their life as well. But you know something, friends? The significant thing was all this time, these people never gave up on God's Word. They kept on looking. They kept on believing. They kept on trusting. Here's Anna the same way. Picture this. Here's a woman. She gets married. She's been married for 7 years, and all of a sudden she becomes a widow. And now she spends the rest of her life doing what? Continuing to serve the Lord, faithfully waiting for the Messiah to come. Not knowing whether he would come in her lifetime or not, but still believing that God would bring his son, the Savior. And now here she is. And she too sees this one, this Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, how eagerly these people were looking because they knew that God's word was faithful. It would happen. They continued to keep watch over the prophecies and the predictions that had been given. You know, my friends, as we come to the end of this year, one thing we need to be doing is not only rejoicing in the Christ event of Christmas and remembering the Savior who has come, a Savior who is not only born a baby, born a human being, but one who became the Savior of the world, the Savior of our sins, the only Savior of the world. The Bible is so clear that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And yet, that's just the beginning, the cross, the resurrection. The Bible says that one day, that same Jesus who came the first time is going to come again the second time. And what do we need to be doing? Just like Simeon and Anna in their generation were looking for the arrival that had been prophesied, we need to be doing the same thing. We don't know if Jesus is going to come in our lifetime or not, but I'll tell you one thing, we need to keep that hope alive. We need to be part of the faithful remnant of God's people that are looking for the day when Jesus will come again, that He will come not as a suffering servant to die on the cross, but He will come as the King of kings and Lord of lords. What are you going to do when He comes? You say, well, we're going to rejoice. Yes, we are, but you know what? When the King of kings and the Lord of lords comes, we're going to all bow before Him. It's going to be the most amazing thing that the world has ever known, with the exception, of course, of the cross, the resurrection, the incarnation of Christ. Without those events, of course, the second coming is not a reality, but because of all of those things, the second coming and the great and glorious day of the Lord that is coming, we have so much now to be looking forward to. You look around at the world and you say, boy, I don't know what to expect. Charles was talking to me a few moments ago about one of the publications that he reads, and they were trying to make some predictions about what the country is going to look like in 40 years. Don't you love people that do that, who think they're wise enough to know what's going to happen 40 years from now? But you know what? Whether we know or we don't know, whether we can accurately predict what our future as a country will be, that's not the main thing that matters. The main thing is we know that one day Jesus is coming again. We have a responsibility. What had Simeon and Anna been doing all that time while they looked forward to the arrival of Messiah? They had been serving the Lord faithfully in their generation, being witnesses, being servants of the Lord. And you know what? That's what God wants us to be doing now as well. Thank God for Christmas. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the empty tomb. But thank God He's coming again, and who knows when? Maybe this year. Maybe 100 years from now. Maybe many years from now. Who knows? But you know what? We need to keep watch over the predictions that God has made. We have to keep on remembering, because one day it's going to happen. God always is keeping watch to protect His word so that everything He says will happen. And He's doing the same thing in regard to His coming again. As the year closes, may it be a time that your faith isn't closing off, that you shut the door on your faith and say, well, okay, another year's gone by. Now we can get on with normal living again. No, normal living is what? Normal living for the Christian is to live every day with eternity's values in view, to be living every day looking for and eagerly longing for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what an exciting day that's going to be. And so, all of these things fit together because there's a God in heaven who not only declares the end from the beginning, but a God who, having spoken, is keeping watch over His word to protect it, to make sure that it happens. You'll meet a lot of people in the world that say things but won't be able to accomplish the things that they say. But that is not true of God. Everything He tells you is right on. You can trust it always, because He is faithful. His word will not fail. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Let's pray to God now. Father, we come to You today, and we are thankful that You have not left us without revelation, without truth, without a clear declaration of what Your plans and purposes are for this world. Lord, we're thankful that what is darkness to so many, You have made known to us. You have shown us the reality of Your salvation and the reality, too, of Your future coming. Lord, help us not to just rejoice that we're smarter than other people, but Lord, let us also be earnestly seeking to let everyone know these truths as well. Help us to be faithful in making known Your word to everyone that we know, to everyone that we meet. Help us to realize that we can trust that word always. You are faithful, Lord, and in that there is no doubt. Hear our prayer now. Watch over all of us, not only in this day, but in the week before us. And we pray it now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.